Good morning, Bokers. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning. Great to be back and great to be back with you, making our way through the Holy Tanya. I want to thank our generous sponsors, Marilyn Michael Fedak, for sponsoring 10 Minutes of Meaning. And of course, everyone is invited. Help yourself in the Reb Shaya corner for a hot coffee or cold slushy on this beautiful summer day. We are in the 12th perek, the 12th chapter of Tanya. We made our way through defining the Tzaddik V'Tovlo, the Tzaddik V'Ralo, the Rasha V'Tovlo, the Rasha V'Ralo, the two types of tzaddik and the two types of rasha, which only leaves us with the definition of the beinoni. And that's what Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12, seeks to do. The beinoni is the in-betweener. And in fact, Tanya is dedicated ultimately to the beinonim. It is indeed called the Sefer HaBeinonim, Halavai Beinoni. Halavai Beinoni, which we mentioned last time, Halavai Beinoni means not only Halavai, that we should reach the level of beinoni. Really, we aspire to be a tzaddik, either type, but we'll be satisfied, we'll take being a Beinoni. Halavai Beinoni means in some ways the Beinoni is higher than the Tzaddik, because the Tzaddik is the individual who not only externally does all the right things, makes all the right decisions, behaves in all the right ways, but the Tzaddik is the person who doesn't even have an inner struggle or inner battle. But the Beinoni on the outside looks like and measures like a Tzaddik, but the inner world is entirely different. And I shared this observation, I'll continue to share it because I find it so startling. What Tanya is essentially teaching us, Tanya is a book all about the inner world. Because the two types of tzaddikim and the beinoni, all three of these five categories, on the outside, on the surface, to the naked eye, they look exactly the same. They wake up, they're early to daven, they don't talk, they have kavana, they learn the daf, they give tzedakah, they volunteer chesed, they're patient at home, they're the perfect husband, wife, mother, father. On the outside, everything's exactly the same. What differentiates, what Tanya is all about, what Tanya speaks to, is the inner world, is to the inner conversation, is to the inner identity, is to what's happening, is what's happening inside. And that's how Perek Yud Beis began. That the Beinoni la'olam ein ara gover ha'kokach l'shva ira katana. The Beinoni, even that inner voice of negativity, the animal impulse, the animal instinct, the animal soul, never triumphs, never wins. When it comes to the three levush, the three garments of the soul, or speech, thought, and action, it's the godly soul that always wins. And yet, in the Beinoni, the animal soul still continues to inform, to speak. It's still ever present. So that's what we're up to. We're up to there are times when the Beinoni does have some sense of an inner peace. And when is that time? There are times that even this Beinoni, not only in his outer world or her outer world, not only there are they doing the right thing and making the right decision, but there are times where there's peace, there's no battle raging, there is no battle front, there is no conflict or tension between the godly, disciplined, self-regulating soul and the animal impulse, pleasure-seeking soul. And when is those times? Where is that peace? Where is that peace? Kemo b'shas kriya shema utfila. When a yid is saying shema, when a yid stands up to daven. Shishas mochen de godless lamala. Because in those moments, there's what the Tanya employs, a language Chassidus of Kabbalah, called Mochen de Gadlus. Mochen de Gadlus means that sometimes our mind is expansive. Sometimes we're plugged in, young people today would say. Sometimes we're picking up a signal, high speed. Sometimes you're feeling it, you're on fire. That's Mochen de Gadlus. Mochen de Gadlus is you're focused, you're connected, you're feeling it, you're high speed, you're good to go. Mochen de Katnus is checked out, slow connection. Not really feeling it, really struggling to get by. So Kriya Shema and Tefillah are moments, they're opportunities. A Jew is in shul, a Jew, at least a man is wearing talis and tefillin, a Jewess is at home, or Siddur or Tehillim are open, they're saying Kriya Shema, they're saying Tefillah. In that moment, they're shut out the entire rest of the world. They take those three steps forward, and they're exclusively standing before Hashem. And in that moment, the mind has a mochen de gadlus. In that mind, we get a little help. We get a little help from above to be able to focus in an unusual way, to be plugged in and moving at a speed we don't normally go. The Beis Hamikdash stood, Rav Chaim Miller in his commentary points out, the Mochen de Gadlus was in a state of permanent expansiveness. But today in Gullus, we're in the 3 weeks, and we're experiencing Gullus, and we understand that it fluctuates throughout the day. Depending where we are, what we're doing, how we're focused, our Mochen, our sense of connectedness can be different. The Gam Lamati Shas Koshul Choladim Shas Mekasher Chochma Bina V'Dashul Hashem. So when a person is in a state of Mochen de Gadlus, when you're a state of high speed, when you're really connected and focused, expansiveness, it's the opportune time to connect our Chochma, Bina, and Das to Hashem. We're receptive, we're open, we're a kli, we're a vessel to receive. We're able to really focus. And in that moment, when we're sharp, we're keen, we're focused, we're connected, in that moment, we can profoundly meditate on the greatness of the Or Ein Sof, of the Ribono Shel Olam, of His infiniteness. You see, when you're fressing and you're eating something good, when you're distracted because you care about the World Cup, when you're focused on the stock market and your portfolio and your net worth, when you're caught up in this world, it's distracting. You're busy contemplating and meditating on, thinking about, maybe anxious over, the memo of understanding's over, we're back at war, the ceasefire, which probably never ever really existed for those who understood, is now officially canceled. So now your mind is racing, it's everywhere. You're wondering, your trip this summer, is it gonna work out? What are the implications? What's gonna be? So that's not mochen de gadlus. But when a yid is focused, the whole rest of the world is shut out. There is nothing else but the Or Ein Sof. All there is Hashem and us. So the mind is expansive. Through Chochma, Bina, and Das, now we can plug in. Now we can, so to say, download or upload, but the speed is good. So we arouse. This is a reference to a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Rishpe Esh, the flaming fire of love in the right chamber of the heart. We learned back in Perek Tes that the heart is divided into different chambers, and the godly soul is in one, the right side, and the animal soul is in the other, in the left side. And the goal is for the correct chamber of the heart to supersede. We spent time then in Perek Tes. Did the Baal HaTanya mean to teach us anatomy? Did he mean anatomically the different souls are found in these chambers of the heart? Did he mean metaphorically the relationship between the head and the heart and the different parts of the heart? But either way, the Dovka Bo Bekim HaTorah Mitzvah Semi Ava. We're able to attach ourselves to Hashem through the fulfillment of Torah and commandments, but out of a love, Kirish Be'esh, out of a love that's aroused like a flaming fire, and you feel connected, and you see His goodness and His kindness, and you feel His presence, and you know He loves and cares and is intimately involved in everything. There's no anxiousness. There's no arrogance. There's no envy. There's no anything else in the world but Him. And in those moments, all we want to do is attach ourselves. All we want to do is feel connected and feel close. And all of this is included. All this included every morning and evening, every time we say Shema, and we're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa, the biblical commandment to say Shema. We're saying Shema. Kabbalas o malchu shemayim. We're recognizing Hashem. There's a king. There's a king of kings. Yes, it seems like there are politicians and elected leaders. There's a world that's operating down here, but it's determined from above who's advancing to the next round. It's determined from above. And by the way, who's advancing to the next round can be a soccer tournament or could be a war in the Middle East. Who's advancing to the next round? Who's advancing to the next round could be in Shidduchim, a fertility journey, or business. It's for us personally. It's for us collectively. It's for us as a people. Who's advancing to the next round? You don't get anxious and you don't worry. You do what we need to do. We daven hard and we do our ishtadlus because it's all Hashem. Because Kabbalas all Malchus Shemayim. That's what it means. It seems like there are kings and princes and prime ministers and presidents and politicians. They look like they're pulling the strings down here. They're puppets. They're puppets. There's a king of kings, a melech malchei hamlochim. And Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is to remind ourselves every day, twice a day, Krishma, Daraisa, to remember a meditation on Hashem, number one. And number two, to therefore become emotionally awakened. Wow, there's Hashem. What am I anxious? What am I worried? What am I envious? How am I arrogant? There's a Hashem. And then number three, this renewed commitment to Torah and to mitzvos that come. So first of all is the meditation, to think about, to focus on, to really receive the signal, to understand, to surrender and submit that there's Hashem. As a result of that, to become emotionally awakened, to become awakened. Wow, what kind of life am I leading? How am I mental? Of who am I meant to be? And then number three, now in practice, what will that look like? How do I execute? How do I manifest? How do I manifest that? Those are the three parts of Shema, which, by the way, are in Shema itself. Shema Yisrael, Shema Ken Hashem Echadus, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's the focused meditation on Hashem. Then V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. That's the emotional V'yahavta. Wake up, love Him, feel a connection with Him. And then Ukshartu Mosal Yadecha, to write them on, put them on your arm and on your head. Ukshavta Mamazos Beisecha, observance of mitzvos. Birchoseh Shlefanel Achrashem Midrabonon. Continues the Alter Rebbe And this meditative emotional awakening is also the goal of the brachos. Now, the brachos of Shema Rabbanan, they are not d'oraisa. But still, hein hachana l'kiyum kriya Shema, the brachos that surround Shema are a critical part of creating a context for Shema, and they enable, and they're the platform that elevates the Shema, kavashon is bar b'makom acher, as is going to be explained in Perek Memvav. V'yaz harosha b'chol ha'smali kafuf v'vatal tova mizbashi b'chol ha'yimani. So at that moment, when a Yid is really saying Shema, I don't mean flying through Shema. I don't mean say Shema while you're still putting away the dishes from last night's dinner. I don't mean you're saying Shema, but you're looking at your phone or at the clock. I mean when a Yid really loses himself or herself in Shema. Kabbalah sol malchus shemaim. There's a king of kings. I surrender to him. He's in charge. He's controlling the world. He's in charge and he's controlling my world. When a Yid is really living that way, that Kabbalah sol malchus shemaim, so in that moment, the animal soul is temporarily suppressed. In that moment, if a Yid is really immersed, engrossed, transformed by saying the Shema, in that moment, the animal soul doesn't crave. The animal soul doesn't long. The animal soul doesn't have an appetite. The animal soul doesn't even have a voice. The animal soul doesn't have a presence. In that moment, the godly soul is all there is. That's not throughout our day. Throughout our day, there's this tension, this battle, this conflict. But in the moment of Kriya Shema D'oraisa, in the moment of a genuine Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that is effective in emotionally awakening us, we know we've had those moments. We've had those moments where you're so spiritually connected that even the normal Yetzirah you struggle or battle with, to look at the wrong thing, to say the wrong thing, to eat the wrong thing, to go to the wrong place, to react in the wrong way. In that moment, it's not even there. There is no battle. There is no tension. So when the Chachma Bina and Das, the highest parts and places of who we are, when the highest parts and places of who we are connected to the Or Ein Sof, in a moment like Shema, where we have Mochen de Gadlus, in that moment there's no tension, there's no the battle is temporarily suspended. There's a memorandum of understanding between the right chamber of the heart and the left chamber of the heart. There's a ceasefire between the godly soul and the animal soul. Now we know this animal soul. It's worse than Iran. So we know it's only temporary. It's probably not even real. We know the memo is barely binding. We can't rely on it. It's never going to turn into a permanent negotiation. Maybe it will. That's how the Beinoni comes to become the Tzaddik. But the Beinoni, he understands that life likely is in a place of being a Beinoni, knows this memorandum of understanding is unlikely to be negotiated into a permanent peace. But yet, there's a little peace and quiet. A little peace and quiet. For a few days, for a few weeks, kids could go to school, they could go to camp, there aren't missiles raining down. There's a little bit of peace and quiet. So the Yid who has Mochen the Godless, the Yid is a Kriya Shema D'oraisa, the Yid who is going through that three-step formula of first surrendering to Hashem, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, becoming emotionally awakened through that meditation, awakened, feeling intimacy, connection, closeness to Hashem, and translating that into manifesting through mitzvot. In that moment, there is no animal soul. There is no animal soul. And that's the secret of the Beinoni's mastery. But the Alter Rebbe warns us, we'll end with this. The Alter Rebbe warns us, don't get too comfortable. Don't let your guard down. You could have the most on fire Shemona Esrei Kriya Shema of your life. You're the greatest Fabrengen Kumzitz Tish, the greatest Torah Seder. You came, you learned our summer kolol on fire. Look at this room, the way it's set up, amazing group of guys. You come, you learn with them, on fire. And you think, ooh, I'm good now. I'm good. I'm done. I killed that animal soul. I squashed the animal soul. I silenced the animal soul. I have a peace. I'm living in peace, permanent peace. I'm good to go now. No. Achra tefila, bistaklas hamochen de godless. After you leave that environment, after you leave that place, after you cool off a little bit, what happens? Chozev v'neir b'chol asmali, the evil in the left chamber of the heart, it reawakens. U'mesava taivala taivas olam azivata anugosov. And there's a desire for temptations of this world. So when we leave that place of the focused meditation, we leave the place of being emotionally awakened. If we're not effective in manifesting and applying it into Torah and mitzvos, then that peace, which was very fragile, it falls apart. And we're back in the place of the tension and the battle. That's where the Beinoni lives. So we'll pick up a Mirtzah Hashem next week. The place the Beinoni lives is that place of the battle. The Beinoni wins. To be clear again, in the outer world, Beinoni looks just like the tzaddik. The Beinoni wins in the outer world. But in the inner world, for the Beinoni, they go back to the battlefield. can never let their guard down. They're going back to that place. Halavai, halavai, benoni. Have a great day. We should have besoros tovos, yeshuas, v'nachamos.